Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Monday, August 28th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. We've got an interview coming up here, at least a partial interview with John Bush in studio, and some bombshell news on aerosolized vaccines and so much more. But the main topic I want to start out with here today, before we get to the news, actually, it's something that hit me hard over the weekend. And I've got to put out a warning about this. And I don't know if you're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing, but there are so many scams that are running right now. And I'm talking about scams that coerce people to part with their money voluntarily. Scams that talk people into giving up, you know, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, believing that they're, you know, investing in something or acquiring something that is miraculous and game-changing, and it's all a scam. And I have seen this across so many sectors, and for whatever reason, over the weekend, I just saw so many examples of this. And the reason I decided to just warn people about this is because I'm seeing people fall for it more than ever before. And I don't know if it's just because there's a sense of desperation that's out there right now, of why people are falling for it. There's a lot of, you know, hope and these scammers, when it comes to fundraising, for example, they of course play on people's emotions, and they play on the idea that, you know, most people are compassionate and have a heart and want to help out. And so they put out a video that says, you know, I know you want to help people. I know that you want to save children, and you can do it by sending money to me, you know, this kind of thing, which is, man, I think this is also a result of the collapsing economy, where a lot of people out there are desperate to make money. And so they're coming up with so many outrageous little scams to make money and take money from their audiences. I'm also seeing, another thing I'm seeing is quite a few influencers just across the board. It could be in different realms, different industries, but influencers who have abandoned all morals and ethics and are just running from one plug to another plug to another. Like they launch one project and get everybody on board with that project, and then they dump that, and then they go to the next project. You see this in crypto a lot, for example. Then they go to the next crypto project, get everybody on board. It's going to go to the moon. Everybody get rich, you know, load up. And then they dump all that crypto and sell it to the people that they got suckered into it. And then they go on to the next project. So we're seeing this, you know, not just fundraising in Hawaii, not just in crypto, but I'm also seeing people that I have never heard of before who are jumping in and latching on to the Patriot movement, or even the natural health movement, or the Christian movement. Like, again, people that we've never seen before that suddenly show up, and, you know, suddenly they present themselves as Christians, or suddenly they're patriots, suddenly they're Trump supporters, and they have a pitch for you, and it's going to change your life, and it's only going to cost you $200 a month, or $200,000 one time, or whatever. And the stuff I have seen is just off the charts insane. And I can't believe that people are falling for it. That's what disturbs me about this so much, because, I mean, I always ask questions about, you know, if somebody pitches something to me, I'm going to ask questions. Like, you know, they make a claim. They say, oh, it does this and this. First question that I ask is, how do you know? Right? How do you know it does that? How do you know it works? How do you know that there's that much product in your product? You know, whether it's a supplement or a skin patch or a shampoo or whatever, how do you know what's in there? How do you know? Right? And I find that I'm apparently one of the very few people that ever asks that. And maybe it's just because of the way I operate in my business, the food and supplements business. We always have to assume that every vendor is trying to scam us. That's the default assumption. It's like, prove to me that it's organic. Show me your certifications. Show me your ingredients list, you know, your product certs. And then we run it through the lab test on top of that. And then if it shows up, oh, there's a glyphosate in it, then we reject it, right? So it's not only, I don't even, you know how Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify? I don't trust and verify. I, by default, do not trust. And then I also verify. And they have to prove to me that their product is legit. They have to prove to me that it's organic. They have to prove to me that it's clean. They have to prove to me country of origin and so on. And the ingredients and so on. Remember the one time, I think I told you about this, we ordered, I don't know how many thousand pounds of pomegranate powder. Pomegranate powder shows up. And it's a bunch of cases on a pallet, or a couple of pallets, whatever it was. And so this is the first time we had ordered this from this vendor. And they had told us it's just pure pomegranate powder. I'm like, wow. Or pomegranate juice powder is what they said. I said, that sounds awesome. You know, we could use this in a lot of products. And it was certified organic. So I opened up one of the boxes, and then in our manufacturing room, I open up one of the plastic bags, look in there, and it's like, wow, this sure is kind of pink colored. It should be darker red, I think. But it was really a light pink color. And so, you know, I take a clean straw scoop and take out some of the powder and taste it. Like, whoa, this is way too sweet to be pomegranate juice powder. Because pomegranate juice is a little bit sweet, but this tasted almost sugary. And so I told the crew, this was a couple years ago, I told the crew, you know, hold this. Something's not right. It tastes way too sweet. And so we went back to the manufacturer and said, look, what's going on? I mean, is it really just pomegranate juice powder? And they got back to us after a couple of days, and after some digging, they said, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you. It's actually, I think it was 75% maltodextrin, which they did not list in the ingredients. Now, I can tell you to this day, now, of course, we rejected it. We shipped it back. We demanded a refund, and we've never sold that product. But I can tell you to this day that I've seen that product for sale on Amazon and many other retailers that is dishonestly labeled just pomegranate juice powder, and it's not. It's, as I recall, it's about 75% maltodextrin, which is probably GMO. Nobody tells the truth. And as far as I know, I'm the only person who ever even asked the question, because I bothered to taste it and found out that it tasted way too sweet. Reminds me of a few years back when there was a whey protein product that was really popular with, believe it or not, raw food and vegan people who normally wouldn't eat whey, but there was a particular group of raw food vegans that were trying to boost up, I don't know, they were protein deficient and they needed something that wasn't flesh, and they knew that whey protein had very strong benefits for digestion and you know, probiotic support, things like that. And so there was a particular brand, I remember the brand, I'm not going to name the name, but there was a particular brand of whey protein that was sold in this giant canister. It was massive. I don't know how many pounds it was, but I remember visiting people, raw food vegans, and I would see this giant whey protein, and they would talk about how much they love this whey protein, even though everything else is raw food vegan lifestyle, but they would eat this whey protein. And of course I bought some and tasted it, and it's like, man, this is way too sweet for whey protein. Way too sweet. Kind of almost a play on words, you know, way too much whey. It turns out, now I wasn't the one who uncovered this, but it turns out that this company was using maltodextrin, which they claimed that they transformed into whey protein through some kind of process that was, of course, all complete BS. Something they just made it up. I don't remember what it was. It was something like, oh yeah, we take maltodextrin and then we put it on this, you know, Tesla plate or something. It's antennas and, you know, pyramids and circuits and then it becomes whey protein. And so they labeled it whey protein. And the raw food vegans were literally eating maltodextrin smoothies when they thought it was whey protein, and it wasn't. And can you imagine the profit margin of just repackaging maltodextrin and calling it whey protein? Because, you know, maltodextrin is what, like 20 cents a pound or something? Whereas whey protein is, I don't know, good stuff, wholesale, is like $15 a pound. So this company was making a fortune. Now, it turns out, I don't know which agency got them if it was the, I think it was the FTC, but I'm not sure. And this person went to prison for, as I recall, I don't know what kind of shenanigans or financial, you know, quote crimes. I forgot all the details of it, but this person went to prison. And yet for many years, they got away with selling maltodextrin labeled whey protein. And oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, to this day, I have a canister of this because I have like an evidence rack of all the stuff that is sketchy out there that I find in the food and supplements industry. I save it. So I actually have a canister of this. So, you know, if anybody were to challenge me on this, I could prove that I have a canister of maltodextrin labeled whey protein. And, you know, it's got the label and the manufacturer date, the lot number and everything on it. So I do kind of, I've collected some of these things over the years. Now, also over 10 years ago, by the way, I'm the only one who sounded the alarm over a liquid product that was being heavily promoted, mostly across the raw vegan communities, as a detox. It was a liquid detox, they called it. And people were making millions of dollars selling this product. And they would encourage their followers to take shots of it, to drink it, you know, out of shot glasses, multiple times a day. And we were the only people who did a lab analysis of it and found out that it's very high in aluminum. And it was actually something called a flocculant, which is something that's used by the water purification industry in order to remove impurities from, you know, municipal water systems. But the way they do that is through aluminum, right? So not for human consumption, but it works in like sewage vats and, you know, maybe a swimming pool or something. But I remember this one promoter who later apologized to me, by the way, in an interview, but this one promoter had these very impressive looking videos where they would take a glass of water and they would stir it up and then they would pour in a shot of their aluminum mixture. And then all this cloudiness in the water would like fall out of it and it would just be, it would look clear and pure. And this was very convincing. And so a lot of people across the space, just on, you know, alternative media websites too, by the way, who were paid to promote this. Of course, there was a very strong affiliate program on this. There were gurus. There were, you know, even like high vibration people. I don't even remember who all they were. People were making fortunes on this because I remember how violently I was attacked when I exposed that this thing is actually just drinking aluminum. And that cut into the revenue model of a lot of people who were making huge dollars and by convincing people to drink aluminum. Well, of course, the health effects of this were horrendous. And people would report things like black metallic substances coming out of their fingernails or their ears. And this was all explained away as a detox effect. Like this was a good thing. Oh, you're drinking this aluminum mixture. Yeah, you're detoxing all these other heavy metals that are coming out of your body. That's a detox. And I remember that no matter what happened to people, it would be explained away as a detox. Like, oh, vomited 3 hours today. Oh, that's a detox. Diarrhea for 4 days. Detox. My hair is falling out. Detox. My skin looks horrible. Detox. You know, whatever horrible thing was happening to people, it was just called a detox. And, you know, imagine if you applied the same logic to vaccines. You know, if you go out and get a spike protein injection that's poisoning you from the inside and you know, you go to the doctor and, you know, say, doctor, I'm having myocarditis, you know, heart attack, stroke. And what if your doctor said, no, that's the detox effect of the vaccines working, you see, which in a sense, of course, Western medicine is also a giant scam. But I saw this in the supplements industry. And over the years, and especially, like I said, recently, I have seen so many scams that are very worrisome to me. And some of these scams are taking so much money from people that I have heard of people mortgaging their homes in order to invest in projects or to buy certain things or and in crypto, like I said before, some people have invested life savings in a crypto project that might have turned out to be run by a bunch of scammers. And in all these cases of what I'm seeing, it stems from the fact that people don't ask enough questions up front. They don't ask enough questions. Like, how do you know that, you know, fill in the blank. How do you know that it's whey protein? How do you know that this thing works? How do you know that this thing has this thing in it? Right? These kinds of questions, which, again, professionally, I'm trained to ask these all the time. That's what I do in the lab. You know, what's in this? How do I prove it? How do I show it? How do I calibrate the instrument and then test this against the instrument? And then I get numbers and then I know it's reliable. Very few people do this in the real world. And this is how people get taken. And I'm also seeing a huge number of cases where there are very clever talkers, very like the influencers, like I said, who are able to just talk up a storm and sound very convincing and sound very authoritative, but what they're saying just has no basis in reality. They can make it sound good, and they can leave the impression that, oh, there's all these studies that back this up, or that, oh, all these experts said this, or that, oh, all these clinical trials determine this and this and this. But someone listening to that influencer say those things, they might go away with the impression that there are all these studies, there are all these experts, there are all these things, all these awards or whatever. But in fact, it's just something that this person said. It's just, pardon my language, it's just bullshit that they made up. And they repeated it and they made it sound convincing. And again, the reason I'm warning you here today is because I am seeing an uptick of this kind of activity across so many different spaces. I'm seeing it in alternative medicine. I'm seeing it in crypto. I'm seeing it also, I think, elements of, you know, the stock market represent this kind of thinking as well. People are buying into things that can't possibly support the value that is being claimed, right? And there are so many examples of this just across the board. But here's another example. I remember years ago, I was looking into skin patches as a way to deliver nutrients to the body. And in particular, I remember reading a story about a new technology or a new skin patch that would deliver iodine to people in developing nations who were iodine deficient. And what I remembered most about that story was that they had a little iodine patch that was in the shape of a circle, and that in India, people could put it on their forehead, which is somewhat common, you know, in the religions of the region to have a dot right there. But that dot could be delivering iodine through the skin, because iodine, you only need, frankly, you know, micrograms per day. A very tiny amount of iodine prevents iodine deficiency. And that's why, by the way, there's iodized salt. That's why there's a tiny amount of iodine added to the salt that you buy in the grocery store in order to prevent iodine deficiency across the population. It's not enough iodine, by the way, to really be, you know, the full potential of iodine, but it's enough to at least stop the physical deformities and defects from becoming, you know, publicly visible. That's why it's in the salt. So I knew from the story that you could have a skin patch that would deliver iodine. And by the way, the skin is porous, of course. And obviously we have, you know, nicotine patches, right? And nicotine goes through the skin. Otherwise, nicotine patches wouldn't work, right? And there are other drugs, by the way, that are delivered through patches. And of course, you also know there are microneedle patches now that can deliver vaccines, which that's a little worrisome. But nevertheless, I was looking into the possibility of patches, selling patches that could deliver different nutrients, starting with iodine. And so we contacted every patch manufacturing company that we could find back then. This was several years ago. And we asked them all one question, which is, you know, how can you control and determine the number of micrograms of iodine that are administered per patch, or let's say per square centimeter of the patch, so that we can actually understand dosing information for people? Like, what's the serving size? Well, one patch delivers, let's say, 10 micrograms, right? Because you need that information in order for this to be something that, you know, at least in my mind, before I could sell something like that, I would have to know how much is in it, right? It seems like common sense. I tell you, this is absolutely true. There wasn't a single company that we could find that could guarantee any level of iodine to be applied to the patches. All they could say was that there was some iodine, but they couldn't tell us how much, and they had no control over how much. And they had no quality control internally to even determine if they succeeded in the right target concentration onto the patches. Now, this leads me to believe, and perhaps there are exceptions to this that I'm not aware of, but the skin patches that might claim to deliver certain nutrients, I would wonder, how do you know? How do you know it's got that much in it? You know, where's the process? Where's the documentation? Where are the lab tests to show that that's what's in it? Because again, when I did the research, looking to produce a product like this, we couldn't find a single company in the industry, at least at that time, that could tell us how much goes into the patch. And so, of course, we dropped that project because I can't sell something if you don't know how much is in it. But there are plenty of other people who would be happy to sell something not knowing how much is in it. And that practice has gone on actually since that time, by the way. And, you know, you need to know, too, there are all kinds of examples of products, even in the natural health industry, that have toxic ingredients in them that are not listed on the label. In fact, I'm pretty sure Ed Group mentioned this on camera in the last interview he did with me in the studio. He was talking about a particular company, and I know the name of this company. I'm not going to say it here for, you know, lawsuit reasons, but this company has been very famous in the natural products industry for making baked goods. And this company, in mixing up their formula, they had a problem in the manufacturing of too much suds, you could say, because it was kind of a liquid mixture and it was foamy, you know, suds and foam. I guess it wasn't soap suds, but it was ingredients that go together for this mixture, and it was really foamy. And what Ed Group told me is that he was visiting the facility that does the manufacturing for this, and he was watching them, and he saw them grab an industrial anti-foaming agent and pour it into the mixture that becomes the food product. And he was freaked out. And this is why he mentioned it in our interview. And he asked the people there, he said, "What are you doing?" Because, you know, Ed Group is he's very concerned about ingredients, as I am. He's like, "What are you doing?" This is the way he told it to me. And the people said, "Oh, what do you mean? This is the way we've always done this. Too much foam, you pour in the anti-foaming agent." And Ed's like, this is for industrial foam, not for eating. And they said, "Well, it's part of the recipe. It's on the sheet here. That, you know, it's one of the steps. Add the anti-foaming agent." So you could be going to the health food store and you can be buying a box of, let's say, like I said, baked goods. Won't tell you the brand name. And you could be eating toxic anti-foaming agent. In fact, you probably are. And you don't know it because the company doesn't give a crap. And there are so many examples of this, too many to name. I mean, I've mentioned a few here today. You know, the whey protein that was maltodextrin, right? The detox supplement that was aluminum, right? The skin patches that don't even have the ingredient in them or very little. And now the toxic anti-foaming agent in the baked goods products. It's incredible. It's incredible. So when you are looking at something, and I forgot to tell you know, gold and silver. So there are bait and switch operations in this industry right now that are just unbelievably dishonest, that will rip people off to the tune of, you know, $100,000 plus, selling them wildly overpriced gold coins that, you know, on the very day that they are delivered, they're only worth, you know, maybe half of what the person paid for. People get taken because they don't ask the right questions. So let me break this down in terms of practical matters for you. Whether you are buying gold or crypto or nutritional supplements or food or technology, devices, patches, anything that you are buying, I beg of you, ask the question, what's in it and how do you know? What's in it and how do you know? Or I guess if it's crypto, maybe those wouldn't be the right questions, but do your research, dig into it. Don't hand over $100,000 to some, you know, crypto project just because somebody said, it's going to be the next hot big thing, it's going to the moon. No, don't do that. That's crazy. And don't buy gold just because some influencer whose videos that you like told you that that's a great company. You should still do the math. You should still say, wait a second, how many ounces of gold am I getting for how many dollars? And even if you're buying from our gold sponsor, you know, Treasure Island, you should always ask the same questions. How many ounces am I getting for how many dollars? Because what is gold now, right now? 1900 something spot price. So let's just, with the premiums and whatever, I mean, let's just round it up here. Let's say $2,000 per ounce of gold, just as a rough, easy number to work with. If you spend $10,000 on gold, you better be getting 5 ounces of gold. If you're spending $10,000 and you're only getting 3 ounces of gold, you're getting ripped off. Or if you're spending $100,000, you know, you better be getting 50 ounces of gold. You see what I mean? And you should ask these questions of everybody, of every transaction. And don't trust by default anything just because an influencer told you about it, including myself, by the way. Now, of course, I'm very meticulous, more so than I would say, frankly, anybody, because I have a lab. And so I do my own testing. I subject things to testing. And you could almost say I'm passionate. I'm passionate about this subject. And that's why I spent millions of dollars building a laboratory and running it and even adding recently, you know, dioxin testing. Oh, man, that's going to make some waves when we get that up and running. Wait till you find out all the stuff that has dioxins in it. Jeez. But I'm driven by this. I think more than anybody I know, probably more than anybody in the world, frankly. I don't know anybody else in the space who does what I do and does build the lab and spends the money on the lab and does the testing and is just so passionate about this. I don't think there's anybody else that comes close, frankly. But there are honest operators out there who also check a lot of things, but we check everything. We check the documentation. We check the ingredients. You know, I do taste and sight tests and texture tests as well. And we run instruments on everything. You know, we do a lot of due diligence. But even on things I recommend, like all the sponsors that I recommend, you know, like the Treasure Island Precious Metals Company, it's because they do honest business, you know, guaranteed discreet delivery. And if I recommend, you know, like shieldarms.com, which is the Glock magazine company, and they have the folding AR-15s, it's because I use those, because they work. In fact, I have one of these mags right here. Here it is, 15-round steel magazine. You know, in fact, on the Glock, my number one complaint was the polymer mags. Well, Shield Arms solves that problem. In fact, Shield Arms got me back to carrying Glocks. Yeah, that's how good that company is. And no one can buy me. No one can just say, here, I'll pay you $100,000 and you start plugging this and this and this. And don't ask too many questions. Are you kidding me? No. Not a chance that that's going to happen. You know, my reputation counts with my audience. They know I check things out, and you know, you can't buy that. You have to earn it. You have to earn trust. You have to earn reputation. But when I look across there, like I saw a bunch of stuff over the weekend, I see people out there, so-called influencers, pushing just scams, just scammy things that are totally dishonest, that are just gonna, you know, in the best case, rip people off. In the worst case, might actually hurt people. I mean, I'm aware of one thing going on out there that's being pushed very aggressively that could actually make people really sick. And I'm trying to decide what's the best way to handle this situation right now, too. Because I have a lot of knowledge that about things going on in the industry that could threaten some very powerful organizations. And I mean powerful even in, let's just say not in the pharma space, some other spaces. And I have to strategize about how to handle that in order to, you know, put the health of the people first, or the, you know, just the dignity of the people first. Wherever I can, I sound the alarm, like I've done here today on a number of things. But sometimes I become aware of things and I have to determine how to handle that. But bottom line is, I'm going to wrap up this segment by telling you, or reasserting here, ask more questions of anything. If you're going to put some real money into something, you know, if you're buying something, a product, a service, an investment opportunity, you know, a crypto, precious metals, technology, whatever, if you're buying something and it's a substantial amount, even if it's not that substantial, be sure to ask questions. Don't just believe people by default, because there are a lot of bullshit or a lot of hucksters, scammers who are infiltrating. I've noticed they're infiltrating the Patriot space or the alternative media space or the Christian space, and they're hiding behind these labels, and they're pushing a lot of scams. So just beware. Absolutely beware. If you don't have skepticism and discernment, you're going to get scammed, and you might get harmed, but you're definitely going to get taken. So, and always watch out for things that are too good to be true. You know, I mean, you've heard this before. Does it sound too good to be true? You know, is it going to be revolutionary, really? Or is it just, you know, something that somebody put in a liposomal format and now, okay, so what? It's got 50% better absorption, but it's not going to make you 20 years younger. You know what I mean? Have discernment about things and be very wary of people making incredible promises about health or wealth or happiness or things like that, because, you know, the truth is, health and wealth and happiness are things that come with effort and daily habits. And there are no miracle overnight, you know, transformations for that. If you want to be healthy, it's going to be daily healthy habits, healthy eating, food choice, a little bit of exercise, drinking clean water, you know, good nutrition, good relaxation, healthy sleep, all these things. And want just one, you know, magical pill is not going to solve all these problems, whether it's a pharmaceutical or a supplement. It doesn't exist. I mean, there are seemingly miraculous molecules out there in the natural health space, like resveratrol, for example, which is found in, you know, red wine and grapes and so on. But even resveratrol, I mean, I've taken resveratrol probably daily for 20 years. It's not going to overnight transform your health, but taken daily as part of a habit of nutrition, it can absolutely sustain and support excellent cardiovascular function. But it's not going to take somebody who's been living on junk foods for 20 years and eating seed oils and chicken McNuggets and all this garbage, and then like one day they can pop one resveratrol pill and everything, you're going to be 10 years younger tomorrow. No, there's nothing that does that. There's nothing that does that. All right, moving on here. We're going to play a little bit from Gregory Manarino, traderschoice.net, who's got a warning about what's coming. A new crisis is upon us, he says. And this is from Sunday on Brighteon.com. Again, Gregory Manarino. Let me just play this for you.
See that, which anyone can see. Just go to the Federal Reserve website. Just open a search engine, Federal Reserve balance sheet. I didn't draw this up. I put these circles on here to show you what's going on. People, look, okay. Prepare yourself in every way you possibly can, mentally, physically, spiritually. Start connecting with more like-minded people, because what they have in store for us is worse than you and I can possibly even dream about or think about. They're not done at all. A meltdown in the stock market would further again solidify this. Imagine there's a two-headed snake coming at you. You got this, what appears to me is a new scamdemic on a worldwide scale here. And then if they can make this collide with a market meltdown, which would begin again, it looks like it may be, in the debt market, which is the driver of the stock market. Could you imagine how much central banks would have to inflate? That would solidify their position around the entire world. One world government, new set of rules, new paradigm. Does that sound familiar to you? I've been telling you this for a decade. And it's in our freaking face. People, I love all of you so much. We need each other more than ever here. Please share the video again. Get it out there before they pull it.
All right, continuing with additional news headlines, we have this from Business Insider. Three Ukrainian pilots died in a disastrous mid-flight collision days after Western allies announced a new training initiative. So they were killed Friday during a training flight, and then among the dead was a commander with the call sign Juice. Juice had been a fairly public person who was calling for the U.S. to provide F-16 jets to Ukraine. And from Business Insider, quote, the catastrophe comes as Western allies have begun offering pilot training to Ukraine's troops. Now, this is quite a catastrophe for Ukraine, and it's always sad to me when anybody dies in war or in a training exercise for war. These pilots, you know, they didn't even make it to the battlefield. They were just training, and apparently one of them hit. I mean, there were two planes with two pilots in each plane. And, you know, or one pilot, one navigator, whatever the other seat does in the plane. And anyways, there's two people in each plane. And one of the planes hit the other plane. And three died, and I think one person survived, is my understanding. But I'd have to double-check that. The point is that they didn't even make it to the front lines of the war. Radio Free Europe reported on this. It was L-39 planes. Those are training planes that collided during their flight, and they kept flying closer and closer to one another during the training exercise. That usually ends badly. The crash sent debris crashing down near the village of Sinhuri. This is just the cost of military training, and it underscores some of the concerns that have been aired in the media previously over Ukrainian pilots being trained, even though they do not, many of them do not have adequate English skills in order to successfully complete the training. And so we don't know if that's a factor here. We hope not, but it's not hard to imagine that during flight class, because, you know, there's many hours of classroom instruction for every hour actually in the plane, by the way. And I know this as someone, you know, trained to fly Cessnas. Most of your training and preparation and reading and everything is, you know, on the ground. You're only in the air a fraction of the time that you spend on the ground learning how to do these things. But it's not hard to imagine a scenario where maybe one of the pilots just didn't have good enough English skills to get the full instruction, which is being offered in English, and they missed something, and they made a mistake, and now three people are dead. But importantly for Ukraine, there aren't that many pilots that they have that can fly F-16s. Now, you see, NATO doesn't want to put American fighter pilots in F-16s for all the obvious reasons. Number one, these F-16s are going to get shot down relatively quickly by Russia because Russia has very advanced, you know, anti-air defense systems, the most advanced in the world, arguably. And whoever gets shot down is going to end up being a prisoner of war. And the last thing that the United States wants is an American pilot being taken prisoner as a POW by Russia. Can you imagine the international incident that would cause to explode onto the scene? So they're trying to get Ukrainian fighter pilots to fly the American planes, so they can say, well, America's not involved, even though it's Americans who are training the Ukrainians. And there aren't that many Ukrainian fighter pilots to choose from, frankly. I would imagine, I don't have any special numbers on this, but I'm just guessing that the number of even potential Ukrainian fighter pilots at this point is probably just a few dozen. And to lose three of them is a pretty significant hit. There just aren't that many. And frankly, I'm not sure that any of this is going to matter, because it seems to me that this whole thing is over before the F-16s can even be deployed, which NATO is talking about sometime in 2024. And these aren't even the modern F-16s. These are kind of outdated F-16s, the early models that, frankly, a lot of these European countries are probably just trying to get rid of, probably pulled them out of storage and giving them to Ukraine. It's like, here, you know, have these planes, and then we'll just buy more, and that makes the contractors happy, right? The manufacturers, they get the contracts, and oh, everybody's rich again. Meanwhile, these poor F-16, you know, Ukrainian fighter pilots are flying in outdated equipment, which is pretty much also what's happening with a lot of the on-the-ground hardware. You know, they're taking BMPs, they're taking Leopard 2 tanks, and they're taking old, like, museum-era tanks across Western Europe and handing them over to Ukraine and saying, here, jump in this steel coffin and see how long this lasts. And it's crazy. It's a suicide mission, unfortunately. And this is, you know, honestly, the West is using Ukraine as its equipment disposal field so that then Western countries can justify buying new equipment. And it's just, it's a racket. It's a money-making racket for these companies. And it's a death sentence for the Ukrainian soldiers that are ordered into these vehicles, ordered to drive across minefields, you know, ordered to rush a well-defended Russian position while under fire from Russian Ka-52 helicopters and so on. It's madness. This is not a rational approach. This whole counteroffensive has not been rational. It's been desperate. It's been just flinging assets and men at the Russian lines and hoping for the best. And that's actually, it doesn't work in war, just hoping for the best. And that's why there have been really no significant success whatsoever in the so-called counteroffensive. So, you know, sadly, the deaths are really, they are the responsibility of these national leaders, especially in the United States, who are corrupt, criminal cartel leaders, and Western Europe, the other NATO countries. They're corrupt. They are the bullies of the world. They want to destroy and annihilate Russia. They were trying to expand NATO into Ukraine. They want to make Ukraine a member of NATO in order to pressure Russia and ultimately cause a revolution inside Russia so that the West can pillage Russia's resources. That's what this has always been about. That's what the Desert Storm was about. That's what the wars in the Middle East have always been about. It's about control over resources, usually energy. Sometimes, in the case of Afghanistan, it's control over the heroin trade and the poppy fields that U.S. soldiers were guarding for many, many years. You know, just using the military to guard the heroin trade so that the CIA that runs the heroin can make all the money and pay kickbacks to the top, you know, Department of Defense, Pentagon people, and so on. It's a giant racket. It's all a racket. But innocent people die in this racket. And we just added three more innocent people to that list since Friday. Very sad. And speaking of killing more people, we have Joe Biden now pushing the new COVID vaccine. Yes, they're coming up with a new one. And I've got a little video to play for you here of Joe Biden talking about this new vaccine and how he's going to push everybody to take it. So check that out.
President, can you say anything about the uptick of COVID cases and new variants?
Yes, I can. Matter of fact, I signed off this morning on a proposal we have to present to the Congress a request for additional funding for a new vaccine that is necessary, that works. And tentatively, not decided finally yet, tentatively, it is recommended that, it would likely be recommended that everybody get it, no matter whether they got it before or not.
So there he says he signed off on a proposal to request funding for a new vaccine. This is another handout to Big Pharma, by the way. That's all this is. So just as the war in Ukraine involves massive handouts to the weapons contractors, this is a massive handout to Big Pharma, which will, of course, donate huge money to the Biden campaign. So Biden says, tentatively, it is recommended, it would likely be recommended, everybody get it, whether they got it before or not. So here he is basically saying that he's likely to push a mandate on this. So the ramp up that we warned about is happening. They're rolling out a new COVID plandemic 2.0. You can see it in the media. You can see the calls for masking again. You can see the fear campaigns. It's all on schedule. And now Biden says we're going to roll out a new vaccine, and then we're going to try to push everybody to get it. Well, how are they going to do that? They're going to pull the same shenanigans they pulled last time. They're going to say every company that does any contract with the federal government, you have to have vaccine mandates. They're going to threaten states and schools and hospitals like they did last time. Oh, you won't get any government money, no Medicare reimbursement for you unless you mandate vaccines for your entire hospital staff and all your hospital patients and all the nursing home patients and all the you know, care, everything. This is what they're going to do. So this is COVID tyranny part two coming back, because they're not even very creative at their tyranny. They're just repeating the same scam from 2020. You know, essentially almost 4 years later. Same scam. So watch for all the same things. It's going to be, oh, the vaccine works. This time they're going to say, this vaccine works. Great. Yeah. How do we know? We just say it does. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of this show. If somebody's selling something to you, you should ask, how do you know it works? How do you know it's real? How do you know how much is in it? Well, should be the same thing, obviously, with vaccines. Somebody pushing a vaccine on you should say, well, how do you know it works? Because they have no answer for that, and they've never had an answer for that. They've never had any real data that the first vaccine worked or that the boosters worked. In fact, every booster was the result of the previous shot failing. Remember, that's what the media said, and the CDC said, well, gosh, everybody needs a booster now because the new variant, you know, it evades the previous vaccines. That's their way of admitting, well, the vaccines aren't working, so you need another vaccine. And if you're dumb enough to get another vaccine, you're going to find out, well, that vaccine doesn't work either. Don't worry, they have yet another one for you. At this point, it's an IQ test, right? So are the masks. It's an IQ test. If you are stupid enough to line up and take these jabs, after all the previous jabs are now admitted to be failures, then you have a mental disorder, not just a health problem. You have a mental disorder. There's something wrong with your brain that probably another spike protein injection will not fix, but it may further lobotomize your brain and make you more compliant with future boosters, by the way. It's kind of a, you know, a self-reinforcing lobotomization system. The more vaccines you take, the less you're able to think critically to reject the next round of vaccines, all on purpose. So this is coming. And what you and I need to do is resist like crazy. We need to say no, do not comply. We need to say it loudly and proudly. And we need to demand answers. Oh, you're going to push a vaccine. Tell us. How do you know it works? Where's the evidence? Where are the long-term clinical trials? Where's the FDA approval? Because there's not going to be any. They're just going to make it all up. Because, of course, you know, the vaccine industry, they're the biggest con artists and fraudsters of all. Total quack science hucksters. All they do is they pay off the FDA to give them emergency use authorization. And then they say, well, we don't need any clinical trials. We don't need any data. It doesn't need any evidence at all. It's quote, approved, not really. But it's excused by the FDA under the EUA, and then they can just say, well, everybody's got to get it. The FDA said it's good, and it's an emergency. How long is this emergency going to last? Well, the answer is clear. As long as you comply. Again, if you're gullible enough to keep going along with the emergencies, they're just going to keep finding new emergencies. Oh, we have a climate emergency now. Oh, we have a COVID emergency. Oh, we have a fire emergency. Oh, we have a weather emergency. Oh, we have a cyber emergency. If you keep obeying the tyrants, make no mistake, they will find new emergencies to keep you in line. This only ends when you stop obeying the tyrants. The only emergency in our world is the fact that tyrants are in charge of our governments. That's the emergency. You get them out of office, the emergency's over. And everything actually works much better for humanity. Food production, energy production, economies, you know, healthy people, happy people. It's a self-healing system when you get the cancer out of the way, and the cancer is obvious at this point. It's a bunch of tumors running around ordering us how to live our lives. Things may be headed for a breaking point. Sarah Palin recently said that she thought there could be a civil war in America over the arrest of Trump. I mean, she was talking to Eric Bolling in an interview, and he was asking her about the president being booked on, you know, criminal charges in Fulton County Jail in Georgia. Sarah Palin said, "What the heck? Do you want us to be in civil war? Because that's what's going to happen," she said. "We are not going to keep putting up with this. We do need to get angry," she says. "We do need," she says, "to rise up and take our country back," she added. Now, this may be exactly, by the way, what the establishment wants conservatives to do. I think that a lot of this, I mean, first of all, these charges against Trump are obviously just theater. But the reason they want Trump in jail is because they want to invoke an armed insurrection. Because that's the only way. See, the Democrats in power need another emergency to claim that they're the victims. So they need, just like, you know, they staged J6, right? It was all undercover FBI agents and Capitol Police that led, you know, the peaceful protesters into the building, and then they called it an insurrection, even though nobody was armed except them, you know, except the FBI and the Capitol Police. None of the Trump supporters were armed. So it was all staged. But that worked so well for the Democrats. I mean, they've been running on that narrative ever since. And that also sealed the deal of the election theft in, you know, the 2020 election being stolen, you know, January 6th and then January 20th of 2021, when Biden was sworn in, self-identifying as the president of the United States, even when he did not win the election. So that staged insurrection worked really well for the Democrats. They want another one. And I'm concerned that what Sarah Palin is saying is kind of feeding right into that. And that's why I would say no. Armed insurrection is not the answer to this at all. In fact, that's probably a trap. And maybe Sarah Palin needs to rethink, you know, what she's saying there. But I do think that we need peaceful activism across the country, especially as we move into the elections. And we need people other than corrupt Democrats counting the votes and monitoring the machines. Actually, we need all the machines to be taken out of the loop. We need paper ballots and we need voter ID nationwide. But that's not going to happen because the Democrats, you know, have fought that, because they can't win unless they cheat. But if we had paper ballots and voter ID nationwide, then the Democrats would never win again. Until we get that, we need Trump supporters at the ballot boxes, you know, monitoring peacefully, being part of the democratic process for election integrity. We need election integrity laws. We need people, you know, peacefully watching the ballot drop boxes and video recording where legal to do so, the ballot drop boxes. You know, we just need to put eyes on all of this and have transparency on it, make it much more difficult for the Democrats to cheat. Sure, they'll find ways. I mean, they have suitcases full of fraudulent ballots pre-printed in China and shipped in. And just read, you know, this is why they drag out the elections. On election night, they find out, oh, they're losing by 10,000 votes. Well, just roll out five suitcases, you know, or two suitcases. Oh, guess what? We found 10,001 votes. What an amazing coincidence, right? That's what happened in Georgia. That's what happened in Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and Nevada and other places as well. And they're going to do that everywhere they need to do that unless they are stopped. But stopping them has to be peacefully within the rule of law. It can't be, you know, armed insurrection. I think it gets to an armed insurrection if the Democrats start running, you know, roundups and taking people into death camps, which is probably their plan. But I don't think that they are going to pull the trigger on that until they can ban the Second Amendment, which they've been desperately trying to do. They haven't been able to do it. The ATF is just not able to achieve its goals of even, you know, outlawing all the arm braces and everything, because there are still some judicial leaders that have ruled against them, you know, in the courts, in the Fifth Circuit in particular. So until they can confiscate all the guns from the American people, they probably won't try the gunpoint roundups and mass executions of conservatives and Christians. So remember, the Second Amendment is the only thing standing in the way of the tyrants just carrying out mass genocide door by door, house by house, gun in your face, bullet in your chest. Like, that's what Democrats actually want to do. That's their dream. That's their fantasy, is to just go house to house shooting all the conservatives and Christians and Trump supporters and gun owners. But, you know, they realize if they were to try that, people would fight back, and that's why they can't do it at this point. So they're going to try to stage more false flags and shootings and insurrections, and you know, the FBI is no doubt recruiting more people, meth heads and addicts and whoever they can get. And you know, they're going to MK Ultra some people and Jason Bourne some people and whatever, and they're going to try to run all kinds of false flag operations in order to take the guns. But I don't think they're going to be successful in that. So keep your firearms. It's the only thing standing in the way of the tyrants. By the way, we know the cause of climate change now. It's arson. The BBC is even reporting this. In Greece, 79 people have been arrested for arson for starting wildfires. 79 people. Police have made 79 arson arrests. Civil Protection Minister Vasilis Kikilias said there have been several attempts by arsonists to start new fires on Mount Parnitha, northwest of Athens. There have been hundreds of fires in the nation where wildfires have already killed at least 20 people this week. 20 people this week. Arson scum are setting fires that threatened forests, property, and most of all human lives, said Mr. Kikilias. You don't hear the word scum uttered that often by governments, except perhaps in Star Wars when they're talking about, of course, rebel scum. But this is different. Arsonist scum. Setting fires. You will not get away with it. We will find you. You will be held accountable.
You rebel scum.
Threw in a little Star Wars clip for you there. You rebel scum. You know, you can have fun with that one. It goes from that soldier right there, the Empire soldier. You rebel scum. And then if you go into the, let's say, like the Emperor, the evil Emperor's voice. You rebel scum. And it kind of morphs into Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. You rebel scum. You know, it's kind of funny to play with that one. Here, let's see if we can do them all together. You rebel scum. You rebel scum. You rebel scum. Actually, I think that one went Smeagol too soon. Come to think of it. Okay, we got a new robot.
You rebel scum.
That's even better. Perfect. Okay. Using the board again, having fun. Okay, a little sci-fi quiz for the, just a little side note here. For those of you who grew up either in the 70s or 80s, I want you to name the TV show where you would have heard, I believe this is the exact quote from the robotic humanoids. Here it is. What TV series is this?
By your command.
Okay, what was that? Can you guess it? Those of you who might be sci-fi fans. All right, I'll give you a hint. I'm going to play 10 seconds of that video for you here so you can see the Cylons saying it.
Enemy target destroyed. Always trigger and continue pursuit of Battlestar Pegasus. By your command.
Oh, also real quick, folks, the best video you'll see all day. This is a video of Nevada Rangers smashing through a road blockade set up by climate lunatics on this road next to their Burning Man festival. And these climate lunatics think they can just block all the roads because they're all delusional and they think that carbon dioxide is bad. And so therefore they think they can just shut down society. And this Nevada Ranger, I guess with a Texas attitude, this Nevada Ranger just drove his truck right through the blockade, turned around, got out, pulled out his gun, pointed it at the terrorists and said, everybody get on the ground, everybody on the ground. And then you hear them start crying and screaming. It's a climate. So check out this video for yourself. It's one of the best you're ever going to see.
Get out! On the ground! All of you on the ground now! Get on the ground!
All right. With that said, hey, a couple of announcements to share with you here. First of all, our Labor Day event sale is beginning this Thursday, and it's going to be a biggie. And we have something really cool. We're going to be offering you know how I've been testing, I tested water filters, and the last test that I did on water filters was a test to remove cesium in case of radioactive fallout. And the test before that I did was to remove glyphosate, and the test before that was to remove, I think, lead. And there were very, very few filters that achieved near 100% rating in all three of those. And the top water filter, or at least among the top three that achieved the best score in all of that, is something that we're going to be offering for the first time this Thursday as part of our Labor Day sale. And it's a new format water filter. It's a gravity filter, but it's in rugged polyethylene pail format instead of metal. So it's more rugged, more portable for like a bug out vehicle. Something to check out. We've got that coming up, and a lot of other things available, including, you know, I use laser light to help heal my finger that I almost severed. And I use light therapy, and I use sound therapy, and I use, of course, lion's mane mushroom and nutrition and everything. But one of the laser devices that I used, which is, it's a little on the pricey side, but it was very effective. We're also, for the first time, making that available because I had such a positive experience with that laser device. It was instrumental in my healing and recovery from that rather catastrophic injury. So that's going to be available. Plus, we have a lot of items on sale, a lot of items in stock that previously weren't in stock. Just saying, get ready this Thursday, healthrangerstore.com. It's going to be a big Labor Day sales event that lasts 3 or 4 days. Also, Scott Kesterson asked me to share this announcement with you because the interview with him ran last week on Decentralized TV. He has moved his upcoming Bards Fest event. It's no longer in Kansas. It's going to be in Flemingsburg, Kentucky. And I don't know why. He didn't share that with me, but it has moved to what he says is a really great venue. So if you're in or near Flemingsburg, Kentucky, then now you're close to the event and you should check it out. Just search online, just go to Brave Search and search for, you know, Bards Fest or Bards FM, and you'll be able to find the website for that. And I assume tickets are still available. It's definitely going to be an event to attend. I was invited to speak there, but as you know, I don't travel that much these days. I'm probably not going to go to Kentucky, but I will be recording a special message for that event, exclusively for that event as well. And Scott Kesterson is really an amazing, amazing human being, an amazing American. Very happy to contribute to his event. Also want to mention, of course, in terms of telecommunications options, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, has their phones available right now, the Iridium phones, SAT123.com. And remember, they work when the cell towers do not work, and they work from anywhere on the planet. And also, they're not Google phones, and they're not iPhones, so they don't track you like Google. But if you just want a de-Googled phone that does work with cell towers for your day-to-day phone, we have a new affiliate partner in that space called Above Phone, and their website is abovephone.com/BBN, which gives us credit if you were to purchase something. It's no additional cost to you, but they do pay us a small affiliate fee if you purchase something from them. They've got the Google Pixel phones de-Googled, which is like taking the brains out of the Terminator and reprogramming it, you know, to protect John Connor. I guess today is sci-fi day. We've mentioned Battlestar Galactica, Terminator, and Star Wars all in the same podcast. Well, it tells you what my childhood was like, doesn't it? This is stuff that's still rattling around inside my skull 50 years later. But anyway, abovephone.com/BBN, if you want to check that out. It's a great setup. If you want a de-Googled phone, this is the perfect solution. Also, we interviewed Rob Braxman, who is known as the internet privacy expert on YouTube. We interviewed him on Friday for an episode of Decentralized TV. And Rob Braxman, super awesome guy, loved the interview. It was very informative. We're going to be running that, you know, as part of Decentralized TV pretty soon. And we talk a lot about de-Googled phones and why you shouldn't use an iPhone and you shouldn't use Google at all. And you should live a Google-less life, if that's even possible. So keep that in mind. Anyway, that's kind of an overview of things coming up. All right, with that said, let's jump into the partial interview with John Bush, who joined me in studio on Friday to talk about freedom and liberty and crypto and also food and farming and decentralization at the local level. All kinds of good stuff. That was also an interview for Decentralized TV, but and I'm going to do the full interview with the DTV program, but I'm going to give you part of that interview today just to give you a flavor of it. And John Bush is also announcing a, what does he have? It's an online course at his Live Free Academy. It's an online course that teaches people of an older age, that is like if you're my age or older, how to get into cryptocurrency. Like, how does it work? How to use a wallet? You know, just basic literacy involving Bitcoin and Monero and crypto. So it sounds like a really great introductory course, and it's free to tune in. And that's part of John Bush's Live Free Academy. So he's going to explain all that in the interview coming up here. And I think it's good to be, you know, fluent in these tools of our day, because of course the CBDCs are coming, the central banks are going to push everybody into their system, and we need to understand the alternatives so we can stay out of their system and stay free with a decentralized peer-to-peer monetary type of system. That's what cryptocurrency offers that the central banks obviously cannot offer ever. And also, of course, don't forget about gold and silver, and get yourself plenty of silver, pre-1965 silver coins, you know, constitutional silver as it's called, because you can always use that locally as well, even when the power grid might be down in your region. So enjoy this interview with John Bush. Welcome to today's episode of Decentralized TV here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you can see, we have a guest in studio. We're going to introduce John Bush here in just a second. But our co-host, Todd Pittner, joins us remotely. Welcome, Todd.
Hola. Great being here. Excited about this interview.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. And we're really honored to have John Bush here. And since he's, you know, close enough to drive into the studio, we've got him in studio. So welcome, that's John. Awesome. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me, gentlemen. Looking forward to it.
It's great to have you here. Now, John Bush is from Live Free Academy and has been really advocating so many principles of freedom for a very long time. But let me allow you the floor to kind of give your overall brief of what you're about. Live Free Academy, you got a Bitcoin thing coming up as well.
Sure.
Give us the overview.
Okay, well, I've been involved in activism for a couple decades now and got started with 9/11 Truth, trying to wake people up, did some politics, learned about libertarianism from the good Dr. Ron Paul, participated in his presidential campaign, and then we realized that the whole federal election, the whole federal political game is rigged. It's a con, right? People are finally starting to realize that nowadays. But so we focused on local and state politics, and we actually had some victories. We stopped police officers from being trained to do blood withdrawals on the side of the road for DWI enforcement. We got fusion centers to have these privacy policies in the state of Texas. The fusion centers of the Department of Homeland Security, information gathering, intelligence sharing systems. But it seemed like victories, right? So we should be celebrating. Wow, we got these bills passed and these ordinances passed in Austin. In reality, we were simply slowing the growth of tyranny. We weren't actually creating real freedom for ourselves, our families, and our community. So around that time, this must have been 2009, 2010, I started exploring agorism, which is like, let's create alternative institutions. Let's engage in revolutionary market anarchism, as it's called. And so we started growing our own food, encouraging people to trade with silver dimes. That was before I learned about cryptocurrency. We would go to farmers markets and encourage people to accept silver dimes. Most people didn't know what the heck we were talking about. But every once in a while, someone would be like, oh, yeah, of course, anything we could do to stick it to the Fed.
90% silver, man.
Yeah, 90% silver. So I learned about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in 2012, 2013, became a big advocate for that. We went on a cross-country trip in a school bus, educating people about Bitcoin, getting businesses to accept Bitcoin. And, you know, really just been focused on what can we do in our lives in order to create real freedom now, creating alternative institutions. That's where this freedom cells idea came up, came from. The idea is like, let's not organize through government. Let's not rely on voting, and let's not expect the masses to care about freedom at all. Let's find people that understand what's going on in this world, that care deeply about bodily autonomy, privacy, and personal sovereignty, and let's build systems of trade, support, defense, justice, whatever it may be, so hopefully future generations aren't facing the same conundrum that we are. We can create systems that actually enhance liberty, protect liberty, and grow freedom for a lot of people.
Wow, powerful summary there. What do you think, Todd?
I love it. I just want to ask kind of a macro question, if you don't mind, John Bush.
Sure.
What does personal freedom mean to you, and what are some strategies to be able to effectively achieve it?
Okay, well, I think, you know, basically I would say we have freedom when there's an environment where we can pursue our goals, our values, without people trying to control us, right? I think freedom has a lot to do with choice. The more choices we have, the more freedom we have. So I'm a big fan of, you know, the libertarian school of thought, which is like we own ourselves. Fundamentally, the fundamental principle is self-ownership. And from there, the property that I own, the money that I earn, I should be able to keep all of it. The product of my labor, yeah. And so it goes on from there that we should have voluntary exchange and free markets. So that's really the world that we're trying to create, a genuinely free society, not a half measure, not minarchist, not a smaller government, not Texas is returning to the Republic or whatever. No, if people want to do that, that's fine by all means. But I'd like to explore genuinely decentralized voluntary systems where different types of relationships and contractual relationships can flourish. We can experiment with government, so to speak. And one thing I encourage people just as like a surface level, as far as answering the bit about, you know, what do we do exactly to create personal freedom? I always encourage people to take a self-assessment, to take stock, and to identify areas of one's life where we may be vulnerable and where we may be dependent on centralized and coercive systems. So we already knew this was a tactic, but it was revealed especially during COVID. The government, the predator class, the Schwabs and the Gateses of the world, they want to get people to do things they normally wouldn't do by coercing, socially engineering, and making life overall difficult for them. Yeah. And the more dependent people are on centralized institutions, coercive institutions, a corporate job, for example, the more vulnerable they are to this great reset, to this program. So people need to identify those areas. Do I have all my income from a corporate job? Do I get all my food from the grocery stores, right? Is all my money in a bank? And start to slowly but surely decouple themselves from those systems.
Well, you absolutely nail it. I mean, I told you, Todd, that John Bush gets it. But, you know, in COVID, exactly this, people said, well, I had to take the vaccine because that's where my paycheck comes from. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
So if you decentralize your income sources, or like you said, your food sources, because one day it's going to be, well, you can't come into this grocery store unless you take the vaccine, right?
Right.
So you need to decentralize in every area of your life in order to be able to just have the choices to, you know, to choose survival in this time of genocide, frankly. And what I like about what you do, John, and with, you know, your Live Free Academy and your Exit and Build Land Summit, which I just finished up not that long ago here in Central Texas, is that you're not about confrontation with the system. You know, you're not a guy out there that's saying, everybody grab your AR-15. We're going to go march down and shoot them up. No, it's not that. What you're saying is let's build a voluntary alternative system that makes the old system obsolete.
Exactly. Yep. Like Buckminster Fuller said, it's not as confrontational. It's not reactionary. A lot of people in our freedom movement, health freedom movement, tend to fall into the reactionary trap.
It's where very easy to do that.
Our time, our energy, our focus, it's all dictated by our enemies. And so we're always fighting the latest bill. We're going down the rabbit hole of the latest conspiracy, right? And, you know, let's not be naive about what's going on in the world. We need to be aware, especially so we can strategically navigate around it. But I really encourage people to come up with exit and build goals, exit the system, exit the dependency, build new systems, and have those goals in your life. Be laser focused on those goals. And that way you're like a horse with blinders on. You got chaos happening over here, the latest theory over there, what's in the vaccine, graphene oxide, I don't know, who knows what's going on. I'm just focused on what can I do to become more self-reliant? What can I do to meet more local ranchers and trade with them? What can I do to grow my Bitcoin stash, right? What can I do to find other freedom people in my local area and get them activated?
Awesome. And Todd, by the way, he started a food forest.
Nice.
In his neighborhood in Florida.
Yeah, oh, cool.
I did. And, you know, I have been battling the HOA because we pulled, you know, the rules and everything was cool. And I created this amazing food forest, or it was is designed by foodforestabundance.com.
Yeah, Jim Gale.
And then submitted it, waiting to get back. And they said, Mr. Pittner, you can only plant two fruit trees. And I'm like, what? And so I have been working with Jim, and we found the legislation, the laws, that permaculture is different than just going and planting a, you know, a fruit tree. So I'm going to win. I'm submitting all of my documentation this weekend. But as Mike knows, it's like, you know, I think all of us share this trait of drawing a line in the sand and saying, no, you move. And so I'm really excited to, I'm hopeful to be able to be almost a case study, at least in Florida, to where people with HOAs aren't going to have to fear that they're going to get shut down because it's illegal to do so. They can't tell you what to grow from a food standpoint in your own backyard. Have you ever run into anything like that, John?
Well, we're big advocates of exiting the city and buying land, preferably land with no deed restrictions. Right. So I did grow up in Austin, Texas, and I guess in 2021, I was living there. We lived in a tiny home community that was extremely regulated. It was nice and posh, but we were staying there. We were downsizing so we could save up the money for the down payment. We bought a 10-acre homestead. I had to get the heck out of Boston. It's got cool stuff going on, nice entertainment, nice watering holes, but it's gone absolutely leftist bonkers and the whole COVID hysteria. So I appreciate you and put up a good fight. And, you know, you got to stand on your convictions with that stuff. But ultimately, we're encouraging people to avoid the headache altogether by getting a piece of land out in the country. Now, of course, there's benefits to living in the city, living in the suburbs, and we have a 10-acre homestead. We only deal with like two of the acres, so we don't even deal with the other eight acres. It's just great for walks and such.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't dealt with that a lot, and we're just encouraging people to bypass that by getting the heck out of Dodge.
Okay.
Well, and I love what you both are talking about, which is, you know, augmenting your home redundant food supply.
Yeah, no matter where you are.
Right, exactly. Yes. And Todd, you know, I think you should just build the food forest anyway and then and tell them
come and take it with the little food forest. Right.
Come tear down my fruit trees while I film you and post this all over the internet.
Yeah, do a press release.
Yeah. You prefer poisonous lawns to food that I can share with my neighbors when the proverbial shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody in the neighborhood will be really happy that, you know, some people who know me call me Uncle Generous. I'm going to be very generous with the fruit from my labor and my
the literal
investment.
Fruit. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But let's talk about crypto now for a little bit, because that's another key way to exit the current system, a system that I would argue is actually collapsing now. And we just saw Saudi Arabia join the BRICS nations and six
that's
other
a big
nations
deal.
As well. It's huge. I mean, we can see the end of the dollar approaching. I'm not saying it's going to be next week, but we see that the final chapter of the dollar is being written right now. And so would you talk about exiting the counterfeit fiat currency fraud system, which is a dishonest centralized ledger run by crooks?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of work helping to equip people with tools and strategies to opt out of the CBDC system before it even gets fully implemented, right? And of course, Bitcoin, privacy coins like Monero play a huge role in that. But one of the things that I've found is that a lot of people are timid about moving forward because they feel like I have a 401k, I have an IRA, I have a mortgage, my kids are in school or whatever. They're established and they worry, you know, this whole exit and build thing, all this stuff you guys are talking about, decentralizing my life. I don't want to put at risk everything that I worked for my entire life, which is why I encourage people to adopt what I like to call the inside-outside strategy. So people have one foot inside the established order, right? They have the bank account, they have the business, maybe the corporate job. But simultaneously, it's critical, everybody, you're doing yourself a great disservice if you're not taking proactive steps to build these alternatives, to learn how not only to invest in Bitcoin as a means of protecting or hopefully growing wealth, but in order to trade outside the system in a way that's unstoppable, uncontrollable. So the idea is you prepare yourself for this. You don't have to play catch up. You don't have to figure it out down the road. You are already trading with people. You're already purchasing food from the local farmer using Bitcoin, right? And so the worry is that someday this CBDC system is going to be such that in order to use it, in order to pay your mortgage, in order to pay property tax, you got to be up to date on your shots, or you right. can't have gone over your personal carbon allowance like the World Economic Forum's pushing right. for. And so people may be faced with the choice. And at that point, if they're totally inside the system and have done no preparation, they're going to be mm-hmm. in that same spot, whether people that thought they had to take the vax because they had to yeah. pay their bills. But if you've built a side hustle, if you're trading with your local Freedom Crew, if you have silver, if you know how to use alternative cryptocurrencies, then you can say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going all the way to the outside game. Some people go all the way outside right now, and I honor them. Me personally, I have a bank account, but I got a crypto stash, right? I still go to the grocery store, but we also buy all of our meat from local cattle ranchers, right? So right. it's about having choices and not being put in a place where you can be bullied into submission.
Well, you make a critical point is that you have to have literacy in understanding these off ramps,
yep.
how to use them, how they work, what are the risks or opportunities involved mm-hmm. in those? And in fact, you have a seminar coming up at Live Free Academy. What's the web address? Livefreeacademy.com/what?
Livefree.academy/Bitcoin webinar. Livefree.academy/Bitcoin webinar.
Okay, livefree.academy/Bitcoin webinar.
Yep.
All together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a, what is that? Is it a free webinar or is it a free intro and a paid webinar? Or what? And what does it teach? Tell us about that if you would.
Sure. Well, we've grown a huge audience and community at Live Free Academy. And one thing I've realized is that a lot of the folks are quite a bit older than I am. There's a lot of seniors. There's a lot of retired folks. There's a lot of single older women. There's a lot of people who, you know, maybe they're widowed or their family kind of ostracized them after all the COVID stuff. And I recognize there's still so many people out there that see the value in Bitcoin. They see that they need to be trading it, but they're really overwhelmed with technology.
Uh-huh.
They're like, you know, I'm barely getting the smartphone thing down. I can send text messages, but it gets all screwy when this happens. Or, you know, people host these Zoom meetings, and sometimes that even is overwhelming for me. So we're putting together this webinar so we can first dispel the myths that people have about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. You know, people are concerned, what do we do when the grid goes down? But they're still using Visa and MasterCard, right? I don't want to use something that's digital and that has to use the internet, but they're using PayPal and Venmo.
Right.
It can be hacked, even though it hasn't been hacked for 11 years, right? The government can shut it down. Believe me, if the government could shut it down, they already would have.
Yeah.
So we're going to dispel those myths. We're going to spend some time showing folks my dead easy framework. So anybody, whether they're 8 years old or 80 years old, can onboard into this space. It'll be a free webinar, although we are doing a more thorough immersive workshop later on down the road, but anybody can join the webinar absolutely free and they'll get a whole lot of value out of it.
Very cool. I love that idea, Todd,
great.
Because
yeah.
we've run into the same thing. A lot of our audience members are a little bit on the older side and you know they didn't grow up with mobile devices. I mean, yep. nor did I,
right?
Yeah,
no. That can you share with me? I just have a note here. What is a Freedom Cell?
Sure. Yeah. So Freedom Cells. There's a network of around 40,000 people now. Last time we talked, it was a little bit less. Before COVID, it was like 1,000 people. These are people wow. that are registered on our website. The website is a meeting space where people can find folks in their area. They can form groups. They can get together, host events and meetups. The website to join is freedomcells.org. Freedomcells.org, like cells in a bottle. .org. Yeah, and so essentially it's get together with a small group of like-minded freedom lovers and come up with exit and build goals. Work together with other freedom people to become more self-reliant, to trade, hire one another. Like we got a big staff at my companies and every single person, just about every single person I hired from within the Freedom Network, right? So
that's
we don't
great.
Have to worry about any weird stuff with masks or mandates or anything like that. We're all on the same page. And the idea is you work with this small group, approximately 8 people. It's known that 8 people is the optimal number of people for maximum creativity. It doesn't have to be 8 people, just a small number. But then you link up with other small groups in your area to form a larger group. You guys get together and you can amplify your effectiveness. So let's say, for example, you're in a big metroplex and on one side of town, there's a bunch of people in the freedom community. And on the other side of town, it's more rural. There's more farms and ranches. And it takes, you know, 2 hours to get from one side. So you can have one group that gets the food, that grows the food. Maybe they meet another group in the middle of town, and then that group can go convoy stuff out to the folks on the other side of town. It's just about getting together with other freedom lovers to see how we can create greater freedom in our lives. And it's not just stopping in the local area. We have people all across Texas. We have people all across the U.S., and it's actually global. There's people in Australia. There was a group in North Korea for a while, but I'm just kidding. Maybe there is. I don't know, but they probably don't want to raise their hand and let people know about that.
But the point is, it's locally organized and structured.
Yep.
And could we call it grassroots? I mean, that
seems for
a fair description.
Definitely grassroots.
And it's people who are pro-liberty minded and they want to engage in commerce, right? So it's great to prearrange this. So, you know, someone wants to harvest and trade seeds. Somebody else is doing, you know, a vaccine-free cattle, let's say.
Sure.
Or somebody else knows how to repair tires, you know, whatever.
Yep. It's about doing business with one another, supporting one another. And the ultimate goal, because everybody, we're always on the defensive. And people just think it's inevitable that the New World Order will be the status quo in the future, like total top-down despotic technocracy. But we're trying to present an alternative future. Like, hey, what if we replace government, replace mega corporations, the World Economic Forum? They can have all their meetings in Davos, but it has no influence on us because we've completely decoupled from the system. And we're not just living alone out in the country. We actually have a network and an organization where we can make decisions as a group in order to engage in what Napoleon Hill called organized effort.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Hey, Todd, you want to jump in? Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's very, very difficult to get away from one anchor, which is property taxes, even if you're out in the middle of nowhere, right? So have you explored allodial titles or trying to figure out how to be able to get out from underneath that thumb, or does that concern you at all?
Well, it definitely concerns me every year when, you know, I got to pay more for the monthly mortgage because the property tax is going up. So that, you know, it's a challenge. And in fact, I would argue that the income tax is easier to avoid. There's more loopholes than the property tax, right?
And 100%.
If you don't pay the property tax, they're going to come take your property. So yes, we actually had a gentleman come speak at the Exit and Build Land Summit on allodial title. Ron Gibson, he's one of the nation's leading
experts. Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he broke it down, and it was actually one of the most provocative, impactful workshops we did. We had this Q&A with him and another guy named Mike Colomb that does private membership associations.
We've interviewed him, yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. I like that guy. He's a cool dude. He's out in California, cool guy. But most people were really interested in this. It's this whole private realm, right? Like there's all this chicanery that took place throughout the United States history where it shifted away from this de jure lawful means of organizing government and society into this de facto corporate stuff. And so the challenge with a lot of that space is even if you play your cards right and even if you're doing everything according to the law, Ron Gibson's strategies, the private membership association, you know, the judges, they don't follow their own rule book. And then they got the enforcers with all the guns that'll come take your property. And now you're looking at doing, violence against violence. And oftentimes it's very difficult to win. So one thing that I'm hoping is just like, all right, this is a long game. We can't be stuck in every 4 years, who's going to be the next president. We can't be stuck in how am I going to pay my bills next month. We got to think intergenerationally because Lord knows the enemies of freedom are thinking intergenerationally, right? They got secret society roundtable groups that go back hundreds of years. So the idea is let's find enough people. Let's connect with one another. Let's exit and build slowly but surely. So hopefully one day we've reached a critical mass where collectively we can say, you know what, we're no longer participating in your system. Maybe we even send an ambassador to talk to the local bureaucrats or the local government. And we're like, we are good people. Maybe we're even willing to chip in to maintain the roads because every once in a while we use your roads. But we've decoupled ourselves from all of your institutions, the schools, the health and human services. We don't dial 911 because we have a 9mm to protect ourselves, right? Maybe there's even private security. And this is something that's going to take a lot of time, and a lot of people lack the vision and they don't have the patience. But if we're going to work our way out of this quagmire that we all find ourselves in, it's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some creativity. So there's not a short term answer, but ultimately it's going to take a whole lot of people saying no at the same time.
Well, I like your long term vision on this. And also I would just want to ask you about the realm of crypto, because cryptocurrency creates this opportunity now for people to relatively easily opt out of the current system in many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not perfect, and it is technical for a lot of people. There are some barriers, and it's not that widely accepted, let's say, like at grocery stores. Like, I can't go pay for groceries with Bitcoin. You know, unfortunately, I would love to be able to do that, but maybe I could at a farmer's market.
Well, you could buy a gift card with Bitcoin. You're still going back into the dollar, kind of. That's what we did in 2013, 2014. We went on these Bitcoin-only road trips.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we had to use gift cards, of course. But yeah, ideally, we have a grocer that accepts directly. That'd be ideal.
Yeah, exactly. But I know you're pro-privacy, so I wanted to ask you, you know, I hear you talk about Bitcoin quite a bit, and you mentioned Monero a couple times, but I don't hear you emphasizing the privacy crypto that much. Seems like it's mostly about Bitcoin, but you know, one of the concerns that we have on the show, Todd and I talk about is, unless you know what you're doing, it's pretty easy to get exposed with all the KYC requirements for Bitcoin transactions. What do you think?
That's great, and it's definitely something that should be brought up anytime someone's talking about this, because our audience cares deeply about their financial sovereignty and privacy. So yes, and there's this guy, I'd love to connect with him, Glenn Meter. He does the Privacy Action Plan. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but our audiences overlap quite a bit, and they sent out this email expressing the concerns about Bitcoin's privacy. So for folks not aware, aren't aware, the Bitcoin blockchain is completely transparent. Every public address, long string of letters and numbers, that sends any Bitcoin to another public address, it's all known, right? And so the challenge is, if your identity through a Know Your Customer check when you scan your driver's license purchasing crypto on an above board exchange, as I like to call it, if your identity is known, it could be tied to that address. And then if you withdraw it from the wallet on the exchange, it can show that it went to that next address, right? And some people are concerned, like, maybe this is the CBDC system because it can all be known. There's ways to play your cards so as to mitigate and minimize any identifiable information being tied to your transactions. And one of the best things to do is to purchase crypto, ideally privately, from a friend in the local freedom community. But there's also what are known as peer-to-peer exchanges. Mm-hmm. So one of them that's popular that I advise clients to utilize is called HODL.com, H-O-D-L.com, H-O-D-L.com. And so you'll go on there, it's a peer-to-peer exchange, there's people selling Bitcoin, there's people offering to buy Bitcoin, and the thing to do is make sure that you do business with someone that has a high reputation rating, 98% or greater, and has at least, you know, 400 or 500 transactions. And then you'll want to start with the minimum just to test the waters. But this is a way where you can buy Bitcoin privately without KYC. And if you do so on a device that isn't registered everywhere, or, you know, you do it on an above phone, my good friend Ramiro Romani selling those, then it's unlikely that your identity can be tracked. Now, mind you, we're living in the age of the NSA and there's all sorts of back doors here and there. But I'd like to believe that the government is overwhelmed. They're not able to track and trace every single little bit. We make it easier for them if we tie our freaking driver's license to it. But if you use one of these peer-to-peer exchanges, or you purchase privately, or the best way to acquire crypto privately is to offer up goods and services in exchange for crypto,
yes,
chances are it's not going to be tied to your identity, and you're going to be okay.
Well, by the way, I think we've invited HODL onto the show.
Oh yeah,
we're going to interview them, and we've interviewed, you know, a similar Monero service.
Love that.
Local Monero.
Local Monero.
Peer-to-peer trades, and both of those still present quite a few barriers for high net worth individuals that want to exit the system and move some serious money right into crypto.
Yeah.
And the best thing that we found, actually, after painstaking efforts, is Kraken.com, which initially banned me and then reinstated. But now with Kraken, you know, if you want to buy $100,000 worth of Bitcoin or Monero or $500,000, you can do it over a little bit of time. Whereas if you want to do a peer-to-peer transaction of that much money, like, it's never going to happen, or you might have to send cash in the mail, and you know, there's the trust factor that, you know, those platforms have, and, you know, maybe that can be honored, but not a lot of people feel comfortable putting cash in the mail.
No, you'd have to really build a relationship.
Yeah, right. So these friction points are they frustrate all of us, because we'd like to be able. I mean, now the good news is, once it's in crypto, man, it's easy breezy, right?
Yep.
At that point. You can withdraw, you can sell, you can transfer. Nobody's putting limits. It's yours. It's self-custody, as you say. Mm-hmm. That's what's beautiful. But getting out of fiat, they're making it more and more difficult.
They are, and it's only going to get more difficult because there's been other peer-to-peer exchanges that have shut down because of regulatory concerns, or maybe they saw mm-hmm. where things were going. Some of them have gotten in trouble with the man. But Kraken requires the driver's license scan fiat.
It's full KYC on Kraken.
Yeah.
But what my point was, if you buy Monero, mm-hmm. which you can mm-hmm. buy on Kraken,
sure.
and then your KYC is gone.
So there's one point, but then they don't know where the heck it went. That's exactly. a great strategy to utilize. And I talk to people too, because there's a lot of people that don't want their identity to be tied. They don't want their identity to be tied to it. And so they don't get in at all.
Thank you, John. It's great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
And Rhody wants to say hi to you as well.
Hey, Rhody.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Todd. You guys keep
going. You bet. It's a true pleasure.
That's a good shot there with the dog. Right there.
Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com, where we also have nutritional support solutions for you, including this one, NAC. This is very popular. N-acetylcysteine. Or some people say N-acetylcysteine, but this is the supplement that the FDA has been heavily scrutinizing, probably because it's so helpful to support your body's natural glutathione production, by the way. And then we do the lab testing, make sure it's, of course, non-GMO, tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology. And we now have this available under our own Groovy Bee brand. So you can trust the quality control of it. It's available now at healthrangerstore.com. And I also want to mention, we have something kind of cool here, pomegranate kombucha probiotics. Check this out. This is brand new, single serving powder packs there. And you just open this up and put the powder into, you know, a glass of water or something. And you can enjoy pomegranate powder with kombucha probiotics. And it's made with, of course, non-GMO citric acid. So the ingredients are very clean, very pure. Here it is, kombucha powder, pomegranate juice powder, non-GMO citric acid, sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda, and then the probiotics right here. And that's it. We have made this ultra clean, ultra lab tested, and super delicious. It's available right now at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.